Welcome to the Awakening Bible Hour with D.R. Harrison. Our desire is that God would awaken the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us now as D.R. brings this week's message, From a Bar to a Burden.
The book of Acts, chapter number 26. When you find your place, please say amen. Amen. I'm going to read just part of one verse because this is the part that God put on my heart on Tuesday. I've never done what I'm fixing to do tonight. I'm not going to stand and give you a traditional message. I'm not going to stand and give you a traditional, hermeneutically correct outline, if you will. But Tuesday afternoon, God put on my heart on this Friday night to tell every one of you my story of where God brought me from. How close I was to hell when God found me. I want you to listen to me and listen closely. Acts 26 and verse number 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. You're looking at an individual tonight that's not always been able to raise a hand in worship with praise to a holy God. You're looking at an individual tonight. I didn't know what it was like, Brother Aaron, to grow up in a home that had two parents that were divorced. I didn't know what it was like to grow up in a home where my dad came home drunk every night and beat us kids. I never knew what it was like to come home to empty cupboards because my dad and mom had spent all their money on heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine. I never knew what it was like to come home and hear my dad cussing my mother. I never knew what that was like. I never knew what it was like to hide under the bed scared for my life. I never knew what it was like to be with my mother one week and my father the next week. I was never raised that way. God blessed me with a family that loved God, a family that raised us children under the precepts of God's holy word, a family that prayed together every night before we went to bed, a family that prayed over every meal and thanked God for the blessings that He had given us. A family that every time the church doors was open, we were sitting on the front row whether we wanted to or not. Every time there was youth camp, we were made to go because that's the way we were raised. I remember waking up at night as a little boy and thinking that maybe there was a leak in the roof of our house, but it was a praying mother weeping over her son that God would save him, that God would use him. I didn't know what it was like for a mother to stand on the street corner and sell her body to men. I was never raised that way. Some of you have experienced that. Some of you know what that's like, but I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to have two or three mothers or two or three daddies. I have no idea what that's like. But I do know what it's like to walk away from the way I was raised and to go down a path I never thought I'd go. Sitting up here is four different items that just about destroyed my life. At the age of 13 years old, I saw my first pornography. I saw it from a Playboy magazine that somebody had given to me that I knew. You say 13 years old in your daddy and mama's house? Absolutely. They never would believe, and I've never told them who gave it to me, but it was somebody in our church that gave me my first Playboy magazine. A faithful member of the house of God that gave me my first Playboy magazine at 13 years old. I saw something that moment that caused me to want it more and more and more. At the age of 13, I began to crave pornography. I began to crave to see more and to experience more. I began to want my imagination to go places that it never needed to go at 13 years old. 14-year-old came, 15-year-old came, and 16-year-old came, and I began to do things even further that I never dreamed I would have ever done. All while sitting on a church pew every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, listening to old-time preaching, old-time singing, old-time praising the Lord, I was falling into depravity at an alarming rate. My mind was so consumed with pornography, I couldn't get it out. Everywhere I went, I was looking for some form of pornography to feel that craving on the inside of my heart. The devil had already sunk his grip into this preacher's kid. This preacher's kid that was raised around sawdust shavings. I know what it's like, and I remember what it's like as a little boy to run around the sawdust shavings of Ralph Sexton Jr. tents and to play around in the shavings like these children does and to roll around in the shavings and to throw shavings and to see the power of God fall and to feel the presence of God fall and to see people get born again. But I also know what it's like that right in the middle of the power of God falling, to have a heart that's full of depravity. A preacher's kid. A fundamental preacher's kid. But the devil hooked me first on pornography. By the time I was 17 or 18 years old, I was leading a youth choir. At one time, I had 21 students I taught music to. I was teaching them Southern gospel music. I was teaching them bass guitar and drums and electric guitar and acoustic guitar and piano. And I was going through all the motions of a good Christian. Sunday night, we'd come in, I'd grab the bass, and I'd play as if I was playing it for Jesus. All while having those pornographic thoughts controlling my mind. Every time the youth choir sang and I'd lead the choir and the house would fall down, if you will, and people shouting and praising the Lord and this preacher's kid standing up raising a hand, all while addicted to pornography. During this whole process of being a good religious preacher's kid, I began to see people inside the church begin to do my family in ways that I didn't like. You see, I done had one man introduce me to Playboy. Now I started seeing other men in the church treat my daddy and mama as if they were garbage. And I made up my mind one day. I said, if I can ever find a way to get out of this place, I'll never go to church again. I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't want nothing to do with religion. I don't want nothing to do with preachers. I don't want nothing to do with singers. They're all fake. They're all phony. They're all just empty. And I don't want nothing to do with the hypocrisy. 18-year-old came. 19 came. I began to have sex with girls behind my family's back. They never knew anything about it. Began to cuss like a sailor. I was introduced the first time to a joint when I was 19 years old with the guy that I worked with in North Carolina. He said, just take a hit. It'll be the best thing you ever done. You'll get a high out of it, DR. It'll be all right. I had just left the church on Sunday, going to work on Monday. I said, sure, why not? I'll just take a first hit. And I took my first hit of a joint at 19 years old. Just a preacher's kid. Somebody that knew right from wrong. Somebody that had been taught right. Living in the Bible Belt with a church on every corner. And I went from being raised around old-time power to now I had been introduced to my first joint. Now not only was I addicted to pornography, now I was addicted to having marijuana. Now I was addicted to popping pills. Now I was addicted to chasing women. But it didn't end there. I remember the first place I had my first shot of alcohol. I remember where I was sitting. I remember where I was at. Sitting at a restaurant with the same guy that introduced me to a joint. He said, "Hey, DR, won't you just drink a beer with me? Won't you just take a sip? It'll be all right, DR. Everything will be all right. It'll give you a good time. It'll give you a good buzz, DR. Just take one sip of the liquor." Reluctantly, I took one little drink out of this beer bottle. I had no plans, Billy, of being an alcoholic. I had no plans of being a drunk. I had no plans of being a dope smoker. I had no plans of being addicted to pornography. But what you don't understand is it doesn't matter if you was raised in all of the religion the world has to offer. The devil has a target on your back, and he had a target on my back, and he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy your life and to destroy my life. And we must understand he's the roaring lion, and he's destroying lives beneath our very eyes, and the only hope we have is for God to shake us with revival. Mother was just one little beer with the boys. This is hard for me to do this because I got a daddy sitting over here. I got a mama sitting back there that prayed for me for 33 years. Brother Billy, I embarrassed them. My daddy lost one of his churches because of me. Mother, I know that. He couldn't preach on Sundays because the church was full of sin because his boy had caused it. I locked up the house of God. I locked up the church of God because this boy was addicted to things that nobody knew about but God. I'm here to tell you tonight, you better listen. This is for somebody. I don't care if you're sitting behind a table or you're sitting in that sound booth. Everybody under this tent, you are very much capable of falling prey to the devil. Don't look down your Pharisaical nose at these boys over here. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would be on the backside of jail. You'd be addicted to marijuana. You'd be addicted to liquor. You'd be addicted to pornography. And if you aren't careful, the devil will point you out and he will destroy your life. Here's this preacher's kid. Got a joint in my mouth. Smoking it on Monday through Saturday. Getting up on Sunday, heading to the house of God. Giving God all the glory. And I was nothing but a hypocrite. How many joints has been smoked between you people before you got the tent tonight? I ain't looking down on you. I'm trying to help you. How many of y'all drunk one of these today before you got to the tent tonight? I ain't looking down on you. I've been where you are. But let's take it a step further. The age of 21. 21 or 22, my dad resigned his church. I was mad. I was angry. I hated God. I hated church members. Hated everything to do with them. And I said, I am done with this garbage. You better hear me. Wednesday night came. He resigned on Sunday. I stayed home while they went to church. I packed up my bags and I moved out of that basement. Got in my pickup truck. And I said, to hell with God, to hell with my family, and to hell with church. This preacher's kid. Then you write for that. Those next 2 years, that one little shot of beer that I had, now I turned into an alcoholic. Brother Billy, I had to have one every hour. Now it replaced everything in my life. Now instead of just trying this just to get a high, now I had to have it all the time. Now instead of just seeing that first little Playboy magazine with that naked woman on the front cover, now I had a cell phone. Man, now it was easy, acceptable. Now I could watch it every day, Mother. Now I could look at anything I wanted to, and I could do it for free. Then it wasn't enough. I had to go see it in person for myself. Then I started visiting strip clubs. It's time to start seeing it for real. I thought that, hey, we can't really do nothing here in this area with strip clubs except look. So let's go to Vegas and let's start getting the real thing. Started spending thousands of dollars on people and trips to Vegas. That started at 13 years old of just looking at a Playboy magazine given to me by a deacon in a church. You better listen to me closely. There's people under this tent tonight that you are so addicted to things. And you think that nobody knows, but God Himself knows. But on the flip side, you think you're so bad that nobody can help you. But you're in the perfect place to get help. There's one preacher here that would never preach down to you. And that's this one sitting on this stool. Because I've lived where you are at. And I know what it's like to want to quit. But you can't. I know what it's like to want to stop, Mother. But I couldn't. I know what it's like that it'll want to stop. But I couldn't. I know what it's like to want to shut it off and never turn it back on. But I couldn't do it. Because the devil had me so addicted. Things got worse and worse after I moved out. Then I became rich. I started making lots of money. And all that was a plot of the devil to feed the addictions he had me bound in. Now I took the money and instead of investing, instead of putting it towards things that would be beneficial to my life, my family's life, I put it to feed my flesh and my addiction. Now it wasn't enough to drink beer. Now I had to have liquor. It had to be top shelf. Had to drink the best that money could buy. Just any old dope wouldn't work. It had to be the best you could get. Just going to any strip club wasn't enough. I had to go to the best in town where the best looking women were. And I found myself spiraling out of control. This preacher's kid that was raised right, raised straight, dressed right, carrying a King James Bible, but I went to hell in a handbasket. And the entire time the devil's sitting back, laughing and making a mockery. The next thing that took place, I've never told before in my life, but God said to tell it tonight. I'd gotten to a place in my life to where money was not satisfying me. All the women that I could find could not satisfy me. All the dope was not satisfying me. All the liquor was not satisfying me. One day I got in my car in 2015. I drove to a place that I used to go all the time to hunt and to fish. It's in Rockingham County, North Carolina. We had lost that land and right before I left home, and I hadn't been up there. But I was at my wit's end, Brother Billy. I had all I could take. I was so miserable. I was so empty. I was so, so, so tired of being addicted to everything, but I couldn't get help. I couldn't get help from my family. They were too broken to help me. I couldn't get help from the church because, believe it or not, Mike Brown, the church wasn't nowhere to be found. No preacher came. No deacon came. No youth group came. Nobody once ever came to me and just said, D.R., I love you and I'm praying for you. They left me to the pigs. They left me to the hogs. You know why your county needs revival? Because you've lost your heart for sinners. And there's people in your town that need God just like I did. But where have you been? And what have you done to go after them? I got in my car. My wife was a stripper. She was an adult entertainer. She worked every day taking her clothes off for money. Made hundreds of thousands of dollars doing what she wanted to do. She didn't do it because she had to. She did it because she wanted to. She wanted to live that lifestyle. She basically owned the club she worked in. Hell's angels protected her. Nobody could get near her. If anybody came close to her, Hell's angels took care of her. That's the lifestyle I was in. But I'd had all I could take. I couldn't go a step further, Aaron. And I got in my car. And I drove to Rockingham County, Daddy. I had this gun. And I had one in the chamber. And I had it to my head. And I said, I'm through with life. I'm through with the addiction. I'm through with the liquor. I'm through with the drugs. I'm through with the pornography. God ain't real. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I want to die. And I pulled the trigger. And the firing pin hit the bullet. But the bullet was a dud. It didn't go off. If that bullet would have went off, I'd be in hell tonight. Do you hear me? Mike, I ain't playing around. I was one firing pin away from the flames of an eternal hell. Not because I didn't know about salvation. Not because I wasn't raised right. Not because I didn't know right from wrong. But because the devil had fed me a lie. And I had fallen for that lie. sat in my car. I chambered another one. I put it to my head. But that time, I didn't have the courage to pull the trigger. How many of you in the last 6 months have thought about pulling the trigger? You're sick of yourself. You're sick of your addiction. You're sick of how you are living, but you can't find no help. The pills don't work. The doctors can't help you. Your friends have bailed on you. But there's one person that will never bail on you. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer to all of your problems. Got in my car and I drove home. Things began to get worse, not better. My wife and I went to Nashville, Tennessee. Everybody all right? That night I got so drunk I found myself laying in the back street laying in my own vomit. My best friend at the time walked behind me and picked me up. He said, "D.R., if you do not get up, the police are going to come take you to jail. You better get out of here." They put me in a taxi and I still have no idea where I ended up. I was in somebody's bed in somebody's house in some town in Tennessee. But still, I was drifting further and further away. My wife and I got on a four-wheeler to go ride one day. We was riding through the mountains and the brakes went out. We rolled down the side of the mountain on a four-wheeler. The four-wheeler crushed my side, crushed her pelvis, and almost crushed my skull. And you would have thought that would have got my attention. But it made me hate God more. I didn't want God in my life. Not long after that, I was riding down the road, 65 miles an hour in my Tahoe, jamming the highway to hell, AC/DC. Young boy, 18, 17 years old, an F-150 pulled out in front of me. I T-boned him. When I woke up, I was in the hospital. You thought that would have maybe woke me up and got my attention. But it didn't. Take all of that and fast forward it to May the 16th, 2016. That day I got up to do what I always do. I got up to go to the gym and work out. Go to the office and make money. And then go find me a stripper to sleep with. You say, "I wouldn't tell all that." That's why you're listening and I'm up here. Instead of going to work, I said, "I think I'll just go party all day long. I think I'll just go do my thing today. It's a Tuesday. I don't really need to go into the office today." To show you how sorry of a man I was, I had to find somebody to watch my little girl because I couldn't take her with me to party. Bill Gaines, I had to find somebody to throw her off on because I was a sorry human being. I was so addicted to myself and my addiction. I dropped her off. I made it 3 miles down the road and I watched a young man get hit by a white Honda Civic on a motorcycle. I watched that young man die that very moment. And for the first time in my life, I'm 33 years old at that time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "D.R., if you don't get right with me, that's fixing to be you." Brother Billy, it's like you took a ball bat and hit me upside the head. But it made me even more angry. I thought, "How dare you say that to me? I don't want to hear that. I'm going to do my own thing." But the conviction just got stronger. And it just got stronger. And it wasn't God saying you're a heathen. See, that's our problem now. Churches look down on people that need love. We've got to love people. We need to love people. I said we need to love people. We need to love people. They need to see the love of Jesus Christ through us. All God kept saying was, son, I love you. Son, I love you. Just a few months before, he spared me from hell. Do you know he could have let me go to hell and he'd have still been God? He could have let me pull that trigger and that bullet could have went off and he'd have still been just and he'd have still been holy and he'd still be sitting on his throne. But I thank God he had mercy on me. Oh, he had mercy on me. Oh, thank God he had mercy on me. For the next 72 hours, I was under Holy Ghost conviction. I became the meanest person you ever met. All I talked about was that man dying. Made my wife mad. She said, I'm tired of hearing you talk about him. Get over it. But on the flip side, she couldn't understand why I was so worried about it. Because up until then, I could care less who lived or died. I didn't care about you. I didn't care about nobody but myself. But every second of every minute, God kept burning that boy dying in my mind. May the 18th, May the 19th came. I was scheduled to go to Alabama. The business trip canceled at the last minute. I was sitting on my couch in my house and the phone rang. It was an 803 area code. I reluctantly answered the phone and there was an evangelist on the other line. He was holding a revival in Burlington and he said, is this DR? I said, yes it is. I said, who are you? He told me. I said, why are you calling me for? He said, somebody gave me your number and said that your company was the best company in town to edit videos. And being my prideful self, I said, well, they didn't tell you a lie. We are the best. But how can I help you? He said, well, I'm preaching a message, and I want you to edit a video for me. I said, I'm not interested. He said, no, you don't understand. God told me to call you and tell you you're supposed to edit this video. I said, but you don't understand. I don't want nothing to do with your message or your God. He said, DR, God said to edit this video. And something at that moment, mother, Lord, I started feeling my heart melt. And before I could even say a word, what come out of my mouth was, okay, I'll do it. I gave him my email address and he sent me the email of all the files. And when I opened up the files, here was the video clips. It was a reenactment of a boy that grew up in a Christian home with a preaching daddy, but was never saved and was now standing at the great white throne getting ready to be cast into the lake of fire. And while I was editing that video, conviction fell in that house. And the more I edited, the more under conviction I got. I got it done. I sent it to him. And I said, you know what? I told Brian, because Brian was with me. I said, you know what, let's just go to the bar. There was a bar 5 miles from my house, less than 5 miles, that I went to every day of my life for years, bar none. That's where I always drank. I walked into that bar and I sat down. Bartender came up, set my beer in front of me, popped the top. Something compelled me to pull up the phone and find that preacher preaching that message. I wanted to see how good my video looked on the phone. But the moment I pulled up Facebook, my video was playing and there was two men pushing a casket down the center aisle. And he was giving an invitation on what if you were in that casket, where would you be? I threw my phone down. I threw money down on the table. I don't know how much I threw. I could have thrown down $2,000. I don't know. I just emptied my pockets. I told Brian, I said, you can walk home, crawl home, get a cab. I'm going to the house. I was under so much conviction. All night long, on that Thursday night, I couldn't sleep. I just kept thinking about going to hell. Friday came. Laura left and she went to go do her thing. I sat on my couch. And from 8 o'clock to 5:30, if I heard it once, I heard it 5,000 times. Boy, I love you. And I want to use you. And I said to God a lot of the things that you're probably saying now. God, I've been too bad. God, you can't do nothing for me. No, he kept saying this, oh yes, I can. But you gotta let me. You gotta turn it over to me.
Yes, sir.
For the first time in years, I pulled up my phone and instead of looking at pornography, the first message that popped up on my phone was Percy Ray's Red Light of Hell. I listened to about 5 minutes of that and I learned real quick I didn't want to hear no more of that. The second message I pulled up, J. Harold Smith popped up, God's Three Deadlines. I said, oh dear God, you can't do this for me. I turned it off and then I picked it up and one more time. I have yet to this day been able to find this message again online. But the third message that popped up was my daddy preaching 5 minutes with the rich man. I've looked for 3 years and it's not there. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because here I was a rich man. I was rich in everything, but I wasn't rich in Jesus. And what would people ask me if I was the rich man in hell? What would I say? I was a preacher's kid. I was a Baptist. I played Southern gospel music. I was a session musician. I made more money than I could spend. But I was lost without God. At that moment, I got down beside that black leather sofa. And I said, God, I don't even know what to pray. But I was broken. And I can't tell you to this day what I said. But all I know is that God changed my life that moment. Tonight, for the first time, 3 years, I'm sitting in the bar stool. God convicted me out of. The bar gave it to us. Said, take it, it's yours. Just take it. 3 years ago, I was sitting in this bar stool. this in my hand, bound for hell. Tonight I'm sitting in this same chair, preaching to a full tent. I'm telling you, there's hope. His name is Jesus Christ. Scared to leave. I wouldn't leave. I'd sit down. Holy Ghost is speaking. Now I want every person to listen to me and listen intently. There's nothing wrong with you being addicted. It's in your nature to be addictive because you are a sinner. You say, I go to church every week. I completely understand. But DR, what's people going to think? I went through that same battle too. But all I know that I can tell you is God took a preacher's kid, an alcoholic, a dope smoker, one bullet away from hell, and he said, I want to use you in ways you can never imagine. 3 years ago, God saved me and my wife and called me to preach. And he's let me preach all over this country and the world, telling other people, you ain't got to stay the way you are. You may be addicted to pornography tonight. That's perfectly okay. I've got the answer for you. You may have Bud Light out in the back of your car. That's perfectly okay. But I do know a man that can take that taste out of your mouth. I dare say there may be somebody here with a joint in your pocket. And I want you to know that's perfectly okay. But I know a man that can take the taste for that joint out of that mouth. See, some of you Pharisees don't like what I'm saying. Because you don't like that kind in your church. These boys that stood up here tonight, you give me them boys any day of the week over any religious Pharisee. Now, my question to you tonight, this has been the hardest thing next to telling my wife her mother died that I've ever had to do. But God made me do it because somebody here is in trouble. And you need help. And you're at the right place to get it. You may be, all right, Lord, you may be a preacher here. And you are addicted to pornography. Matter of fact, I know there is. Because God just told me. You stand behind your pulpit every week. And you can't wait to get on your phone and see a naked woman. You may sing in your choir. You may be a deacon. You may have carried the buckets under this tent and taken up an offering. and you've got skeletons in your closet. There's not a single person in here that 15 years ago could have told me apart from anybody else. I looked like all the rest of the religious folk. I knew how to carry my Bible right. I could quote John 3:16 backwards. I'll even go a step further. This isn't because they're here. It's just because it's the truth. There wasn't hardly a day went by that I never listened or I didn't listen to the Perrys singing on Joy FM. I could sing every word to every one of their songs. I could still hear Tracy singing those bass notes. But I was lost as a goose in a hailstorm. And just because you're sitting under this tent, just because you brought in a Bible, just because you say you're a preacher, just because you've been a deacon for 40 years, that don't mean you're saved.
That's right.
Tonight, I have been 1,000% transparent with each of you and to these video cameras that's rolling. Now my question to you, are you going to be real with yourself and real with God?
Hallelujah.
Or are you going to leave this tent the same way you came? You say it's embarrassing. I was one bullet away from hell. And now I get to tell my story.
Yeah.
It's not embarrassing.
No.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But it ain't embarrassing.
No.
Because I realized that in 2019, just 4 years ago, I could have been in hell. And instead of being under this tent listening to y'all sing and listening to the Perrys sing and listening to these boys sing and listening to all the songs of Zion and feeling the presence of God, I could be in the flames of hell tonight. I'm not embarrassed of my story. I'm transparent because I know you need help and you need help and you need help and your town needs help and more importantly, America needs help and somebody's got to tell them that no, no, no. All hope isn't gone. There's hope in Jesus Christ. He is the answer to your problem. Everything on this table is what the devil trapped me with. You say, I see a Bible up there. What is that? I had 50 of these. And he still had me trapped with this. Some of you have never drank. Some of you have never done a joint. Some of you have never looked at pornography. Some of you have never thought of suicide. But some of you carry one of these every Sunday and you don't know God in your heart. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out devils, done many wonderful works. God's going to say, hey, look here. I ain't ever knew you. But God, I didn't drink. Sorry, I didn't know you. God, I was at that tent every night. Sorry, I don't know you. But God, I've got a King James Bible. Sorry, I never knew you. It's not enough to carry one. You got to have him in your heart. Listen. I don't want you to say amen. I don't want you to clap. I don't even want you to shake your head. I want to know, have you ever truly been converted? See, this is one preacher that believes when you get converted, you don't need AA classes to get rid of your addiction. If God was big enough to raise Jesus from the dead, He's big enough to take that liquor out of your hand.
Amen.
Listen now. If Jesus was to come back right now, how many of y'all would be sitting in your addiction in your seat? Boy, the Holy Spirit's here tonight.
Amen.
Would you be holding on to that Bible, but it not being in your heart? What about it, preacher? Would you be left behind because you were always behind the pulpit preaching a sermon, but you never lived it inside your heart? Well, it's quiet. There's a preacher here tonight that's in trouble. Just as sure as I'm standing here. What addiction is killing you? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? What is it that you're hiding that you think nobody knows? I thought I had everything hid from everybody. But God had my number. Are you real? You say I'm an old man. What's everybody going to think if I admit that I've had a problem? Is it worth dying and going to hell over? Are you truly born again? I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, please visit vohministries.org to see how you can be forgiven of your sins and know that heaven is your eternal home. Also, be sure to check out our library of books, including DR's personal testimony, From a Bar to a Burden. Make any donation to Voice of Hope Ministries, and you will receive this week's complete message free. Until next time, this has been the Awakening Bible Hour.